You've got it. You know where you are when you hear it's time to tune in, turn on, and take off again. That's right, folks. It is the Sweeps Fox Show, your alternative worldview station. Thank you. Today, tonight, we're on the Hill of Tara. Yep, in Ireland, the most sacred site in the realm. The one they, the government, is trying to destroy with a double toll road, interchanges, and commercial lights thrown up in the sky. But we are here with Ireland's chief druid, Con Connor. We are here with TG4, the Irish language TV station production crew, and, of course, with all the celebrants. But this is our Irish heritage, and it's about time you, the people, knew more about it, and why the intense and proactive protesting is being fought. There is a war going on to protect this magical heritage site for us and all future generations. Okay, lighten up, listen, and learn then. We are about to speak directly to Con Connor. Don't know what druid means? And to be honest with ourselves, how many know or have even visited the Hill of Tara? Let's do it to it. Over to Con Connor, the chief druid. You are about to enter a secret, mysterious, and quite real and exciting place. It's called your own inner mind and spiritual being, where most people have yet to explore. It's unknown territory, isn't it? Yes? Or, let us show you where it's at. Go into the wonder of, and the name of the place is the Hill of Tara. Over to Con Connor of druidschool.com.
Hello there, Sweeps. How are you doing?
Okay. I don't know. Listen, Con, druidism.
Yeah.
Let's take the ism off because that has too many negative connotations. We'll just say, what is a druid?
Well, let's say there's really only one type of druid. Uh-huh. That's a Celtic or a Gaelic druid.
Okay, a Gaelic druid. And that means what?
Well, it means a druid who has a language that's ancient, belonging to the Celtic times, and an understanding of life that works with three realms.
So it goes back in Gaelic times, mm-hmm. language times, it has an association with where we are, actually.
Yeah, when you look at those who would call themselves druids, they're the Romantics, from a revival through masonry in the 1700s.
Right.
That's not real druids, you know. They are sort of phonies who thought they'd use the word druid to legitimize themselves.
Right.
And they introduced the concept of priest as a druid because that would even legitimize them further. But priests in the druid tradition.
The druids were considered the priest class of the Celts.
Well, people say that, but I think, Sweeps, that's a complete misnomer. That's trying to place our religion back in their time.
It's trying to place a name on something that people can associate, be familiar with.
Yeah.
Right.
With a priest, you have a religion.
Mm-hmm.
And a religion comes from the Latin religario, which is to tie with ligament.
Yeah, which means to link back to.
Yeah. And
yeah, religio, yeah.
What they're actually tying you to is dogma.
Uh-huh. And church and authority and control mechanisms, which religions are. And the Celts were not religious as we understand it today. They were spiritual.
Exactly.
They were nature people.
They couldn't have a religion, so they couldn't have priests.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would have had officials.
I love that, you know. I absolutely love that. That's great. Spirituality without religion. Sounds like John Lennon. Very good.
They would have had officials who would, let's say, legitimize hand-fasting weddings or officiate at funerals and so on.
Okay, but they were officiators.
They would have been priests. You know?
Okay.
But the concept of priest and the concept of religion is a modern notion that the false druids tried to force onto the ancient system.
And they're still around, aren't they, the false ones?
Yeah, they're mostly English and American branches of the masonry.
Hey, a titty, now a ho, now a now a now a ho. Hey, a titty, now a ho, a ho. Hey, a titty, now a ho, now a now a now a ho. Hey, a titty, now a ho, a ho. Hey, a titty, now a ho, now a now a now a ho. Hey, a titty, now a ho, a ho.
Right. And okay, folks, we are all here, and we'll tell you who all is here shortly. And you good era swing listening folks are here too, hopefully out there listening. Just a brief, I said brief, well, a preface to what we are on about today. On the Hill of Tara itself, with the Druid ceremony of Con Connor, to protect Tara and highlight the concern, right? About the M3 toll road planned to run through the valley near Ireland's most ancient archaeological and spiritual site. But, and by the way, you know who is doing that? The government. Anti-heritage gang for profit. Marty Byrne, the great Irish comedian, said he had his mind opened about many things. We, your fighting counterculture station, were also there on Tara purely for the Druid ceremony. But with the protest about the M3 toll road going ahead still in mind, of course. That night, with Jeff Lewis, my Babalooey sidekick, throwing himself into the battle, was to be momentous. I did some Skywatch signaling of UFOs, as is my bent, my custom, after the ceremony, because I had sensed that we have visitors. And I spoke just that to the group. And what happened? Yes, on the Hill of Tara, 7 UFOs, yes, okay, 7 UFOs showed up within 7 minutes. Not everyone saw them, but people not even associated with the Tara Protection Project phoned the next day to tell of their sightings from the different directions around the hill. People that were there on Tara, one of them at least, according to Con Connor, did see a UFO as well, okay? Some of the group on the hill saw them. They can speak for themselves. Others, well, some people just don't look up, like Jeff Lewis, but never mind. He'll tell you about that. The main reason in Ireland why people don't see them, they don't look up. I then got a mobile phone call from 98FM Radio in Dublin, one of our rival radio stations, asking if I'd go on the air after midnight with them, which I rushed to do, speeding, of course, to do it. Nice of them, considering. I spoke for about 20 minutes. That aside, because it's no longer a phenomenon, since it's happening worldwide every day, although it's also well known that certain people do attract UFOs. It is well known, folks. Okay, the protest rallies and plans are proceeding, getting ready in a big way, as will be explained. Just to show you, most people in Ireland don't even know that only last year, over how many sites, Con?
At least 1,500.
1,500 sites were destroyed. Heritage sites, folks, 1,500, and we'll go into that during this panel discussion here today. And more are continuing every year. Where's the outcry? Where's the media? Well, we're here, all right, shouting. Time to start listening and rebelling. And more important, become a part of the action. To stop this government assault on freedom itself, the freedom of access, and for the freedom not to be taxed and toll-roaded, I can use roaded, and not to be toll-roaded to death anymore for the government's coffers, okay? Tonight, we do have some ready experts on a panel arrayed just for you, you the listeners. We report, you decide, okay? We have Con Connor himself, the champion druid, of druidschool.com. That's his website. Remember, we don't use www, right, Billy? Right. We have Marty Byrne. And we have, of course, Jeff Lewis, the very knowledgeable and long history radio DJ, but talk show apprenticed. Well, the last part is in pure jest, of course, Jeff. And Jeff knows very well the freeing tool that humor is, okay? So, let's raise the curtain up fast on this one. Fellas, I'd like to introduce you right to left. Take it, Jeff. You can introduce yourself.
Hi, Jeff Lewis here. Okay. What are you selling?
We're going to tell you today. Okay, over to you, Marty. Anything to say?
Hello, everybody. How are you all doing?
That's Marty Byrne, yes. Rounding it off, sitting right next to me here, I'm a little bit, in awe of this guy, actually. There's a certain feeling in this room today.
You feel the aura.
There is an aura. There's something happening here. And so rounding it off is Con Connor, who will put us all in the Hill of Tara picture and tell us something about himself and what it means to be a druid and following that style of life. So over to you, Con, and thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. Yeah, terrific. Well, as Sweep said, my name is Con Connor, and I'm a druid with the Dark Moon Grove based in Dublin. I'm very concerned this last year or so about the threats to the sacred site known as Tara. I would see Tara as the spiritual jewel of Ireland. It's had nothing to support it or improve it done by the government. In fact, they've slowly degraded it. The plan to put in a major toll road is to actually extra tax the people. The amazing thing is that this toll road is going to go between two existing main roads. They'll be about 3 kilometres apart. And in the middle is to be this new toll road. It's going to be a linear car park that you're going to pay to get on, you're going to pay to get off. It's going to have a bottleneck at the Dunshaughlin end. And all they're going to do is rip the heart out of Ireland, the spiritual centre. So to try and do something to prevent this, we've been trying to open and realise the light that shines from Tara. And this we're doing by our regular protection ceremony on the full moons, which is, of course, open. Sweeps and Jeff and Marty have been there. And it's terrific to have people from all over the country and all over the world connecting with us. So I'll throw it back to you.
Okay, fine. I understand that as part of the protest, okay, that there are going to be some celebrities and some limelight people gathering on a certain date to go up to the hill with the media to at least show off their presence there as part of the protest.
Yeah, it's good to see a bit of a response or a bit of attention from the media in this. I've seen a bit this week, and the Irish Times had a good article, and that new paper, The Village, had a great article about it as well this week. So it's good to see that
it's gathering momentum.
There's a bit of momentum there and a bit of attention been rightfully and respectfully paid to this archaeological jewel that we have in this country.
When is the diggers supposed to be moving in?
Well, the diggers have moved in quite a while ago and did what they call test trenching. Before any road can go in, they have to do what they call test trenching. And test trenching, we'd know from watching television. I don't actually have a television myself, but from watching television, we'd know that
they use a small trowel
in one hand and a small brush in the other, and they carefully peel back. Right, well, test trenching for this motorway, this tollway, was done with JCBs and big diggers.
Not really, really.
Yes, it was, yeah. And a lot of it was done at the weekends, and a lot of it was done with people who come over from, let's say, outside of Ireland. So that stage of the destruction has already been completed. And this is how they've identified, I don't know how many more extra sites. There's different measures. Some say up to 20 more sites have been identified.
Wow. So heavy-handed approach then?
Well, let's say a approach that's designed to minimise costs and maximise profit potentials.
Well, they're good at that.
So, Con, actually, they've discovered more archaeological sites right around that valley.
Well, it's interesting what they did. I attended quite a bit of this before it became even public knowledge. The oral hearing was not held anywhere near where the M3 is going to be. They put it in Drogheda, which is quite out of the way.
And
the oral hearing was a 14-day event, which was mostly concerned with how much you're going to get per acre. The oral hearing was objections and understandings needed.
And is that for the public to go along?
Farmers?
Yeah, and basically it was set up to sort of say how much you're going to get for your acres. And see, the land is being compulsorily purchased. There was one small section at the end of 14 days of 2 hours with regards to archaeological concerns and heritage concerns. The whole thing was a done deal, and it was just a bit of lip service.
Yeah.
Now, that seems pretty sad in its own way, but the whole media attention to Tara has been diverted and pushed away. It's been minimised. So there's quite a lot of hidden history in behind what has happened.
It didn't happen overnight, this thing.
It did not happen overnight.
Yeah.
The farmers have been offered a ridiculously low amount per acre when you measure it from that angle.
That's fairly common in compulsory purchases, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Mm. And the strange thing in Irish law is that compulsory purchase can only be done on land when it's for the common good. Now, in this instance, the county councils will compulsorily purchase land from farmers and landowners, and then they will rent or franchise this land out to private public partnership companies who will in effect have a private tax on road use. Some people involved in these multinational companies are not Irish. That's to say, Dick Cheney and his boys haven't been issued with passports yet.
Right, they're subcontractors but working for big firms out of the United States.
All hidden by a clever paper trail, but easily identifiable.
So it's all been very well thought out.
That's out in the public domain now with those articles in those papers this week. They specifically mentioned Halliburton and Caleb Brown Roche and Dick Cheney at the back of it all. So they stand to profit hugely from this.
Continuously. This is the joke. Beyond the cost of construction, they're going to continue to profit way on, you know.
There's been quite a bit of handshaking going on in the background for some time.
Well, I don't think it's brown envelopes. I believe it would be brown suitcases.
Much bigger volume type of money being passed around here.
But the event scheduled to happen this weekend is interesting because the Terrace Green Group, who I was a member of at committee level for a while, They've engineered some famous film stars, Stuart Townsend and his partner Charlize.
Never heard of him.
And
Stuart Townsend.
Jim Fitzpatrick is going to do some painting of this lovely lady and auction it for fundraising for the legal campaign. This sounds really wonderful. They're hoping to appear on the Late Late Show, and they're hoping to then appear on Tara and Screen Hill on Sunday.
That's raising the profile.
But let's just take a look back for a second. The NRA have put 20 million aside with regards to just this small section of road from Kells to Dunshaughlin. They put 20 million aside for court activity and for archaeology. Now, 20 million will not excavate 1% of the sacred sites that they've found. It will, however, pay quite a few solicitors and barristers to jump up and down and sound important and to, you know, to cite points of law. So what they've done is they've engineered a situation whereby it can go to court. They're happy for it to go to court. They have a budget for it already.
Prepared for
itself. And the thing to understand is that Screen Hill and Tara are not really separate. It's one very big hill that's about 6 miles in diameter.
Wow.
Screen Hill is the highest point. Then you have the valley, the high upland valley, where the motorway is planned to go. And then you have Tara Hill itself.
So that's part of the one hill.
Okay, and so, Con, these celebrities, personalities, you say, you know, that are famous people, right, in Ireland anyway, right, are going to gather and they're going to lend their effort to at least advocating that people protest about what's being done to the valley.
Yes, to get more attention and have more people looking and to have maybe international concern for the problem. The threat to our cultural heritage.
Well, the funny thing is the United Nations already has marked Tara, you know, the Hill of Tara, as what? What did you say about that, Marty?
A unique world
heritage site.
Heritage site. I don't know the exact phrasing of
right.
it. But
there's always the danger that sacks up the documents, isn't there?
Okay. So, but when the celebs leave, all the famous people, even though they brought attention and focus maybe to this for more people, okay, what's going to happen? The digger's going to move in anyway.
Well, let's go back a wee bit and look at the court case potential, right?
Right.
Let's look at the idea that the road builder, the tax road builder, has already put 20 million aside to pay for the court activity. Let's now look at Terrace Green Group trying to raise funds to go into this court activity. Now, how much are they going to raise? How much good will this do with a law system that's corrupt in the first place?
True. Okay, let's go into that. So, you bring the celebs, or the celebs can bring themselves, the media folk, and the ego glory boys and girls in it only for the publicity, and I'll bring the soldiers, the true warriors. Why? Well, no one trusts the courts, and that's the truth. The so-called democratic courts have nothing to do with justice. They deal with the legalese, a support of the system of laws designed to prop up governing authority, an authority which people have not given them. Citizens here are still ruled, not represented. They have never really gotten the full message, the full idea, that they can refuse to allow their community needs and interests to go unsupported. They can refuse that, okay? But they never got the message here. They talk about Irish rebels. I haven't seen any since I've been over here. Okay, where are the active and concerned youth? Okay, maybe they went to New York.
They've all emigrated, that's for sure.
Yes, I know. That's very true. Okay, and where is the third force tired of, you know, the third force in politics, the third force on the streets, tired of the fat cats and corruption? Where's the survival needs instinct to organize, do civil disobedience, go out into the streets, and or demonstrate with any concept of changing their lives as circus animals, jumping through the government's hoops? They still appeal to government and continue to work with the officials. Occasionally, they'll accept a token resignation or a temporary concern from bureaucrats, right? That's true. The whole thing is not questioned. The whole idea, the whole governing thing is not questioned at all. And where these laws came from and who's enforcing them and blah, blah, blah. Citizens have been taught and brought up only to allow the government to question and reply to itself. Okay, you can listen to, or you can watch their parliament on TV daily in the evenings. You know, they
circus
have the,
Morley.
They have, like they have the Doyle, but what are they doing? They are talking to themselves. They're not talking to the people. They're talking to itself, the Doyle.
Well paid for.
Citizens action groups or town meetings, what's that? And none of the successive governments here in Ireland have ever been made to feel pain from popular feelings and popular outrage. Again, and this is in a democracy, the will of the people has no representation in law. The law supports the law, and everyone knows that. We also know, as everyone else may be afraid to admit it, that lawyers milk the system, and governments pretend to do things in the name of the public good. But that good is determined by them, not the people. They determine what the public good is for us. I don't think anyone of new consciousness would mind one iota if a couple of times a year there was an open season on lawyers and politicians. That's true.
Really.
Yeah. The ones who cause much of the misery are misery to our private citizen pocketbooks and sense of fair play to all.
I just hope there's none of them listening.
On our show.
I hope they are. We're right to get
I hope they're listening is right.
Sit up and listen.
If they want to face me man to man, I'll be willing to do it. But they're going to be in the courts behind their lawyers.
You're going to be sued.
Let them come up on the hill, okay? But on our show, we would summon and address those who will stand and do the real fight with us, okay? We ask all who cherish Heritage Ireland and the environment to join us. Not the government, okay?
Here.
Contact us on what? Foxman1@aircon.net. That's the email for Sweeps Fox, okay? Sweeps Fox Show. Foxman1@aircon.net, folks, and tell us you are ready. And we say to the government and their agents, institutions of control and destruction, time to bring the end time of your corruption and scheming against the will of the people. The stand will take place, folks. We will make a stand. So we say quite outright, if you mean to have a war, let it start here.
John Lennon would be proud of us.
I'm not so sure about Yoko, though.
No, she's a bit of a capitalist.
Right. I'm not sure about the way it's locked up and it's going to get out soon.
He's not getting out.
Is he not?
No way.
No. Marty, over to you just for a minute, because you did have something, you said you had your mind open, and that star guide thing, okay?
Oh,
the
yes.
The aerial shot.
Yeah. Can we get it first of all?
Let's get back into the spiritual idea about Tara, okay?
Okay.
He has agreed to talk about this. In fact, you've got a poster here which demonstrates a lot of the star stuff that's involved, bringing the heavens down to earth, as it were, okay?
Okay.
And you can do that whole thing yourself because
all right.
You do well,
first
it so
of all,
well.
Okay, we'll mention this. All right. This is something very relevant to the Hill of Tara as well, because it's all interconnected with the Hill of Tara. And it's something I became aware of a few months back when I met a guy called Richard Moore, who's a local artist in Drogheda. And a friend of his, a photographer by the name of Anthony Murphy, also from Drogheda, made a wonderful discovery, a rediscovery actually. They say themselves they didn't discover this. It was there all the time. They just happened to notice it, find it again, if you like.
A lot of BS,
It had been lost
right,
over
yeah,
the centuries
sure.
to the people. That there's an ancient road system that stretches from RD down to Drogheda itself and Slane and all around that area of Nowth and Douth, Mellifont, and that entire area. There's an ancient road system. And when it's seen or when it's viewed from above, It forms the outline, if you like, of a very big man. And I'm wondering, why did they call him a very big man? Well, that's quite interesting, because if you were fair to the picture, you can see quite clearly that he is a very big man. In more respects than one, because if you look at this area here. But this is all very symbolic and very relevant to all of the...
Did you say symbolic?
Symbolic.
Yeah, well,
it's all very relevant.
Okay,
to
from
that
what
area.
I see here, the outline of all these old roads, when viewed from an aerial photograph, takes on the character, looks very much like, and is actually a representation of a warrior carrying either a club
or a sword
and brandishing a shield as well.
And it's got something out here that looks kind of like a bow.
It ties in with
the constellation Orion.
Right. Yeah. And how did these ancient peoples, you know, way back then, have, it's like the Nazca lines, isn't it?
Yes.
Huh?
How did they have this?
You can only see this, view this from above.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And this is the area that they want to plow through. Mm. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's highly relevant. This, in my opinion, is highly relevant.
Well,
I'm very ignorant as far as mystical Ireland is concerned. Yeah. And I'd love to learn more about it, but Con would be able to interject with his
Should have some good
ideas
on
about this.
I'll be darned.
Yeah,
a gigantic sword. That is fantastic. And we have these star charts available to show this, don't we?
You can actually buy this.
Where did you get this one?
This is in the Drogheda Tourist Centre. So if you go into the Tourist Centre in Drogheda, don't, for heaven's sake, don't tell them that you're looking for a big man, or they'll probably refer you to me, you know. But just tell them that you want the poster of, I am a gigantic sword-wielding champion.
You don't get a commission from the sales.
No, I don't get a commission at all, but I feel very strongly because this is part of our heritage and it should be protected. This is not something that's up
for grabs. That's
for
right.
Grabs,
or
especially
for
from Halliburton or anybody like that.
Oh,
for
that's
God's
terrible.
Sake, that's really.
But if anyone gets a look at this poster, check out their website as well. What is the website?
The website for these guys, Richard Moore and Anthony Murphy, is mythicalireland.com.
Mythical.
And I didn't say www.
Well, I know you didn't, because you're learning your lessons.
Could you ask Con about expanding on the...
Yeah, if Con could expand on the
Orion,
this whole...
Sure, absolutely.
He's a good man at the start.
Could you give us some help on this?
I'd say a few words.
Mr. Con Connor.
The star correlation here between the layout of this big man and the star group Orion. Orion in the night sky is known as the Great Hunter. He disappears, centred on the summer solstice, for about 90 days at this latitude. Down at the pyramid region, Orion disappears for about 70 days. But the return of Orion and the star his belt points at, Sirius, the dog star, was heralded as a major festival time in Egypt. The layout of the pyramids, the great pyramids in Egypt, Cheops and so on, is a very accurate correlation to the layout of the stars in this group.
In the Orion group.
And
right.
It's been worked out and presented in a very good book called The Orion Mystery by Robert Bouval.
Right.
Other cultures have a similar star correlation theory with the layout of monuments and ancient roadways on the land in respect to the star group of Orion. The very interesting thing about Orion is that he actually rises and lowers on the horizon. About 12,000 years ago, he was at his lowest, so that we wouldn't see him very much at all. But right now, he's reaching up to his highest.
The zenith.
And in the year 2012, his outstretched arm reaches into the Trifid Nebula in the Milky Way. And this is going to be very... This is lovely and technical now. This is where the galactic equator crosses the ecliptic. This Trifid Nebula is the birthplace of galaxies. And this is where the outstretched arm of Orion is heading. This period in time has been pointed out to us by the Mayans as a hugely important time for the...
Yeah, 2012,
okay,
right.
So Orion is actually the man, the main man, the big man, as they say, and he's reaching up to touch this birth point of galaxies. And we are very lucky and very fortunate that Anthony and
Richard
have discovered and given us this wonderful map.
So it's all very life-giving in
it's
some
very
ways.
Real.
It's very real. It's the dawn of a new era.
Yes,
it's an era positive. Swing, actually.
It is. Yeah. It's time when newer consciousness can come flooding into those who have become awake and hold their consciousness. We can actually light up.
Nice way of putting it. Yeah, I like that.
Very good.
But the Orion group itself was known as the Night Hunter. And when the Orion constellation is in the sky standing vertically, it is actually midnight. You know the thing when these people say midnight is at 12 o'clock? It isn't. Midnight is middle between sunset and sunrise. And when Orion is perfectly vertical in the sky, it's midnight.
Is that right?
So the English language has done a whole lot of twists.
Language itself does a whole lot of twists. That's colourful. Right. Not very illuminating at all. We could talk ourselves senseless here and not get the message out at all. People take one look at this picture and they will understand what we're talking about and what the real meaning of the place is.
And the great thing as well is, of course, on their website, they have extensive research to support their poster. And it's very interesting. It's a very shiny and
their website is?
It's mythicalireland.com.
Mythicalireland.com. Okay. And the other...
I've met these lads. I've attended one of their lectures in the church at Tara and was highly impressed by the presentation.
Very good
lads.
Very thorough, huh?
Yeah.
But this is like the forces of darkness versus the forces of light, isn't it, Colin?
Well, let's look at it this way, lads. They could put that moat away in a dozen different places.
Right.
But they chose to go the route that knocks out the most monuments.
Uh-huh.
Now, why are they doing that stuff?
Isn't this not a conspiracy?
It's not so much a conspiracy as a long-standing plan to destroy our spiritual heritage.
We talked just before we went into the studio here, we had a little discussion, and you threw some light on that as to why these forces are trying to destroy heritage, the past, and anything.
Is this to give more power back to the church? What is the agenda?
The church has lost its potential to control the minds of people now. It's now, people are now being controlled by the media and the programming.
The hype.
And the spin doctors, you know.
The one box reality.
Exactly.
The one box, yeah. So they're sort of...
So what's their ultimate agenda then?
The ultimate agenda is to have nice, orderly robots who go to work on time and pay all their wages back in tax.
Well, they're getting there pretty fast.
Working you.
They're going to, you know, the long-standing plans to insert a microchip in us, you know. And there's two places where it'll run without a battery. And one is on the point over the third eye.
In the pineal gland.
And the other one is in the back of your hand where the major veins cross.
Mm-hmm.
They've already installed this. This is actually available now for animals so that your pet can't get stolen.
That's right.
They've put it in criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And they've put it in your child.
You mean they haven't caught up with us yet?
Prince Charles is supposedly, the royal family are supposedly. Yeah.
The children of the wealthy are protecting their children, are being protected
so they can find
microchip.
Them.
Right.
So how do you fight against this? I mean, this is pretty overwhelmed with
I think fighting might be the wrong term instead
of... Well, I use
of,
the word...
But people might still get us wrong.
Who do we turn to?
Let's say we can't fight what they're doing. What we have to do is step away and go to another level. What they're doing doesn't affect us. So we have to hold our truth in a way that their programming can't reach us. So I'd suggest smashing the television, smashing the mobile phone, shouting at the politicians, and demanding.
Can you realistically see that happening on a mass scale?
Let's say the politicians are afraid to come out in public unless they're surrounded by bodyguards already. Let's say when Bertie Ahern goes out in public, he's wearing a flak jacket. Let's just understand that Bertie Ahern, when he goes into his own pub for a pint in Drumcondra, the pub is half full of policemen because they know what's going to happen.
They have the resources, though, to protect themselves.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting. We don't bother fighting them. They want us to fight them. It's like...
Well, I don't mean the word invalid.
I know, fighting, but just sort of...
Even in thought process, you know.
Just so that people don't misunderstand us,
even
right?
Academically.
The NRA have put 20 million aside to fight whoever comes up with a proper... and substantial objection.
It's already a done deal.
So they're going to fight that with 20 million. And it's highly unlikely that any lobby group can find 20 million. And even if they did find 20 million to fight the NRA's 20 million, let's look at it, lads. The guys who run the courts, who are they actually working for?
Well, it's going to be steamrolled.
The lawyers.
So we can't actually
fight them on those levels. Now, this is myself speaking as a druid, okay? So to fight, I'm going to say, instead of fighting them with darkness, their darkness with darkness, do the opposite. Yeah. Come to Tara, join with us, and help to release and make the light of Tara shine again.
Better to light a candle and curse the dark.
There you go. That is really true. Now, well said, Marty. When people begin to see Tara and symbolically see it as the spiritual jewel of Ireland, they can then begin to turn on their own lights. And when they're full of light and love and shining brightly and freely, then the technology of the dark side doesn't get you.
But we have to also bring attention to the general public. to do something about it themselves in order to open themselves up.
Awareness is the first step.
Awareness is the first step in opening up your consciousness. In order to achieve higher consciousness, you have to know what the hell is going on and join in on some of these things. That's why if you do it your druid way, that's fine on a different etheric level, okay? See, to get higher forces involved to help with this and to shed more light on this. But I'm saying we have to stand there physically and make the government feel pain.
You see, I listened to a debate about this on RTE radio about 6 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and they had some interesting... I missed the start of it, unfortunately. I don't know who the people were involved, but they had various spokespeople. And the arguments by the archaeologists were interesting, although they didn't stand up to any great degree either. They seem quite happy with certain aspects of what's going to happen.
No, but this is very understandable, because if you really look at it, the biggest employer of archaeologists in Ireland ever is the NRA. Well,
there you go.
Tell people what the NRA is.
Well, it'd be nice about it. National Roads Authority.
Right.
It's an
arm of the government.
It's
yes.
an independent body that reports directly to government and has
exactly
and no paid for by government. No doubt. Hmm. So it's not independent. It's independent by name only.
Well, it's independent in that you cannot directly communicate to it. You must communicate to it through the government. You know,
that sounds like a government department, all right.
Yeah.
We're tied up here in lots of red tape, which is going
to... Well, that's not accidental. That's what I'm saying to you.
Bureaucracy exists to make sure things don't work.
Yeah.
Well, they're very good at that.
That's what bureaucracy is, okay? Okay, listen, I want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank especially Con Connor for coming way from a different realm, okay? Really,
from the big smoke.
Well, we're going to be with you, on your ceremonies and on the hill and together with you on all these issues. I want to thank Jeff Lewis for being here. He came all the way from his realm.
Pleasure.
And Marty came all the way from sky dropping. Oh, sorry.
I'm just visiting this planet. That's basically it.
Parachuting, skydiving over Chicago. I know, he's just back from Chicago.
I think we should remind all the listeners as well to send those emails in, to contact us, to visit Con's website, to visit mythicalireland.com as well.
And get on to your representative
speaking,
in government.
Opening
and
your
tell
eyes
them,
and your mind and wake
them
up a wee bit and join in.
Block
in
all the government websites.
Is okay, so thanks everybody. Really, we're all going to hang together on this, folks, or hang separately. We're not going to do that, I'll tell you. So thanks for being here with us again. Get with the program, and please send your emails to foxman1@aircom.net. And don't forget the other websites, folks, that were mentioned repeatedly here today. And keep tuning in, turning on, and dropping out with the Sweeps Fox Show. See you all next time down the road, but not the M3, hopefully. I'm going home. I want a cigarette, and I can't have one in the workplace, you know. Keep up the irreverence and the humor. Keep free, and thank you from all of us. Got a reason, my mind, up to the high.